Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising.
Yes.
Yes, God.
Yes.
We say yes, Lord.
We
say yes, God.
Yes,
we say yes, Lord.
Yes,
let it be so.
Yes,
let it be
yes,
so, Lord.
Yes,
Holy Spirit, let it be so.
Yes,
let it be so, Lord
yes,
God.
Yes,
let it be so. Worthy is the Lamb. As we're sharing this morning about the God of glory, and that our God is a God of glory, Jolene's mama, who always sits in the back, Ruth Foster, went home to be with the Lord yesterday. And she knows more about the glory right now than any of us ever thought of knowing about the glory. And so I want you to keep their family in prayer. And hug on Jolene, because she needs the hugs, and you know she's a hugger. So hug on her and help her. And pray for them. We're going to miss Ruth, but we've got a great reunion that's awaiting us. And I'm really counting on that. This morning, I want to just take a few moments to try to help everyone in this room with your journey in God. With maybe connecting a few scriptures, and the Holy Spirit has already spoken through the worship to you and about His presence and about His glory, and to define what is the glory of God. I want you to know, when we say, "Let your glory come down," I want you to know the definition of glory, so that you know what you're singing and what you're saying. You've probably experienced it, but I can guarantee you that you're going to experience it more. I want to also say that I told the worship team to just don't even worry about time. Just go where you need to go this morning. Let the Holy Spirit just lead us, and let's not worry about time too much anymore. And then all of a sudden, Penny gets up with this word, and she shares this word. And God is speaking through the Holy Spirit to every one of us, because a lot of what she said in that word is what the Lord has prompted my heart to speak to you about. One of the lines was, "Your destiny is God's decision." Yes, you have to choose God, but your destiny is found in God's decision. And He holds your identity. And He holds your destiny. And she said that. And she spoke that. Here's what I'm going to try to help do. I'm going to take about a 45-minute message and turn it into 10 or 15 minutes. I'm still not worried about time, because I want to connect something very quickly for you. My whole life, I have wondered why we have not seen more of the glory of God and the presence of God. My whole life, as far as a Christian, has been in moments that I've been really moving great in the Lord, and then moments where I've been really down. But I will say this, when I first came to Jesus, and some of you have heard me say this over and over, and I got to say it again, it was during a movement of God. It was during an awakening of God. And the Holy Spirit was tangible. I mean, it was thick. and you felt God everywhere you went. And when you prayed over somebody, all of a sudden there was this presence that began to almost a weightiness that would fall on people. And what that weightiness was, and what that manifestation of God's presence was His glory. That's a definition of His glory, one of the definitions. And so if you're saved and you're going to church and you're doing everything you can to make it day to day, I appreciate that. But I'm telling you this, those that are choosing the Lord in this hour, I'm telling you this, you don't have to be oppressed anymore. You don't have to be depressed, because God's glory is coming in such a way that it's going to change everything. It's coming. And we have had a lot of healings that have taken place. We've had some that haven't. And a lot of our prayers have been to help people manage their suffering. But God's glory is coming in such a way that people will be healed because of His glory. And if I can bring this together, as I promised, quickly, you got to hear some of this stuff. I know I'm going to miss a lot. Well, first of all, one of the things, you know how you have the old answering machines, you know, I'm not available at this time. Well, God's been trying to ring your number. And many times we're not available. And then how about when you get home and you think you got a bunch of messages on your phone, and all of a sudden you check your messages and says you have one message. I know it sounds silly, but you have one message. It's Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the one message that you and I have. Paul wanted you to proclaim Jesus. The Apostle Paul, the disciples wanted you to proclaim Jesus. And there's a reason for that. He's our message. It's all about Jesus, and it will always be about Jesus. And guess what? The Father wants you to know that, because the Father loves the Son. And I'll be honest with you. If I just had... Now, we shouldn't stop seeking the Lord, hungering for God. We experience those moments of His presence. But I'm telling you, there's something more that's about to happen. And if it didn't happen, we would be in bad shape as a church of Jesus Christ. And what God has promised in His Word is that the power of the Holy Spirit, His glory and His manifested presence is going to rest upon the church. It's going to rest on us. So if you're young or you're old and you're tired and you're worried or you're oppressed, or maybe you just don't believe or you're just thinking about believing, I'm telling you, there is a hope that we have in the coming glory of God that's been promised. It's a great harvest. It's a great movement. It's a great awakening. Do you think, literally, do you think that cognitively, with our minds and with our will, that we're going to have a unified church? I can tell you, if you think that, I'm sorry, you're wrong. Because guess what? It's not going to happen through the mind. It's not going to happen through just our will. It's going to happen through the glory of God resting on the bride of Christ and the love of Jesus flowing through us. And we're going to shine with the glory of God. And we're going to shine with one another. And we're going to go, oh, there you are, my brother. Oh, there's my sister. Because the glory of God's going to shine. And all those folks that have ran away and all those folks that haven't believed, this is what we know. We have a hope in the glory of God. All those young ones that you think aren't coming back, they're going to see a light. They're going to see a light. And the light is not going to be a light of religion. It's not going to be a light of join our church. It's not going to be a light to oppress you. It's going to be a light that frees you. And you move in the presence of the Lord, the love of God, the unity of God. That's what's coming. That's what we've been waiting for. That doesn't mean we don't stop praying and hungering, because he shows up. He's in our midst. But I'm telling you, there's a day coming. A lot of it has to do in similarities a little bit. It's a big difference, but a little bit with how it was in the days of Moses. You see, the glory of God was manifested in a cloud that led them through the day. The glory of God was manifested in a fiery pillar that swirled that led them through the night. It didn't happen one or two days. It happened for 40 years. And about 72 of the elders beheld the Lord, the glory of God on Mount Sinai. They saw the glory of God. Now this is what's the kicker. The glory of God, they saw it from afar. I'm thinking about the pillar of smoke in Solomon's temple. It stayed, didn't it? But then what did it do? It left. It faded. How about the glory that fell on Moses' face? I love that part in the movie where he's all glorified, you know, and he's shining. But what happened? It faded. How about the priest Eli? When the Shekinah glory left. Well, this is the kicker. You and I, and I want you to think about this real hard. If you've asked Christ and the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, you and I have the glory of God, not from afar, but living absolutely inside of us. That's what's living in us. And you're going, I don't feel that. I don't get that. I don't sense that. I know. I know you don't. And some of you, maybe just a few times. God bless you. The promises of God says that in the last days that he's going to pour out his glory. And it somehow is going to connect with the glory that resides inside of us. And we're going to release it and allow it not to be suppressed or oppressed. And we're going to release it. And God's glory is going to begin to illuminate through the body of Christ. A lot of people look at Isaiah 60, and when they look at that, they say, well, most of Isaiah 60 is about the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Jesus. And yes, it is. But the first three verses are not. Because look at these verses again. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It's going to rise out through us. It's going to connect. It's going to be in our midst. And it says, for behold, darkness will cover the earth. Well, I guarantee you that a darkness is not over the people in the millennial reign, because Jesus is leading. So this is talking about now. This is talking about leading up to the day of the Lord when he returns. And it says, the deep darkness will cover the people, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. That's the hope we have as believers. When we worship like this, we begin to see, sometimes we think, oh, let's get through the worship, let's get the offering so we can get the message so we can head on with our day. This is the big distraction for most Christians. Is about going on about what you've got to do. And this is how we're going to cultivate the presence of God, is allowing worship and allowing us to get on our knees. And allowing us to hear these type of messages that talk about the manifest presence of God. And we begin to hunger for that. And hunger for him. And he will come and he will move in our midst. Before Jesus comes to be glorified in the earth, he is coming to be glorified in the church. Before he's glorified in his return, he's coming to be glorified in you. That's the hope we have. This is not sleepy time, boring time. This is a time to engage our hearts with God and watch what he's going to do. This is a time for us not to be depressed or oppressed, but to be free in our destiny, which is given by him. This is a time to begin to believe about God's word and his love. Only through his love and only through his spirit will we unify ourselves and be that bride that's going to be in divine unity and the people will come. It is all about Jesus. Before Jesus comes back to be glorified again in the earth, he's going to be glorified in us. And guess how we pursue that? We don't pursue that through hype. We don't pursue that through self-promotion. We pursue that through humility. And through humility and love, he's making you guys ready. Penny hit it when she said, it doesn't matter how big or how small a church is. It doesn't matter how many people. It matters about your day in and day out divine unity with him and allowing him to manifest himself in you. It matters about a relationship. It matters about intimacy with God. It matters about the power of God manifesting through your life and you walking out the destiny that God has for you. Oh, would I hate to walk in these days without knowing that Christ has a plan, that the Father has a plan through his Son. You know, I just kind of like want to talk to you guys. I don't like to hear myself preach, okay? It's just true. I'm being real candid here. I just like to talk and say, look what's available. Look what God has made for us in this time. And the tactic of the enemy is to weigh you down with worry and everything else of the world. And guess what? He's not going to be just like right in your face. He's going to be so subtle and just weigh you down so he can wear you out. And the only way that you can overcome that is by Jesus. I would go as far to say this. Don't get caught up in I better watch what I'm going to say. Let me reel that one back in the boat there. Maybe later on that one. But let me kind of dial that down. I wouldn't get caught up at all in any kind of position in the church or any kind of position in the body. I wouldn't get caught up in any of that right now. I would get caught up in being before God in a quiet place, in a secret place, right, Michael? Where we find these things out. And I'm telling you, the enemy's plan is to distract you, to wear you down. His plan is to keep your eyes on other things. We know that everything in moderation, okay? But he wants to distract you from being alone with him. Sorry, I'm not available. Leave a message. We can't do that. We can't do that. So if I define glory in 3 minutes, if I define glory, when we use the word glory, we are referring to the manifestation of the Lord's actual presence. So when we're saying, let your glory come down, we're asking for his presence. And that word in the Greek is doxa, is what it means. The self-manifestation of God through believers. That's his presence moving through us. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for glory is kabod, and it meant weight. It meant heaviness, and then it also meant honor. Glory means all of this. And this is the thing that I wanted to make sure you got. As we press in, guys and gals, to the second coming of Christ, there will be an increasing weight of Christ's presence manifested in an overcoming church. It's going to be weighty. We're going to sense it. It's not going to be weird. It's not going to be show. It's not going to be hype. It's going to be him. And he'll draw people. And healings and things will take place. It's God's presence being manifested. As I said earlier, if all these things are true that I'm saying, the glory of the Lord is going to give an increase. And we want to be prepared in the increase. We want to be prepared. We want to be ready. The presence of God shall again be revealed in a massive, powerful way. Praying, worshiping, hungering. The hungering church is about to enter into an extraordinary manifestation of God's glory. It's going to happen. It's promised. I can show you all kinds of scriptures. And listen to this. How much more will he manifest his glory? at the end of the age, moving into the age to come, Jesus said that the least in his kingdom is greater than those under the old covenant, because they saw the Holy Spirit, they saw the glory from afar, but now we have God living within us. Matthew 11:11. So as followers of Christ, even the Old Testament, they saw him from a distance, as I said. But as followers of Christ, it's not going to fade away, the Holy Spirit. It's going to increase. It's not going to diminish. It's going to increase. He dwells in us. He lives in us. This is something about salvation real quick. At the end, God will reveal his glory one last time in such a powerful way that the unsaved world will get one last opportunity to choose again Christ. And they're not choosing between sin and the church. They're choosing between heaven and hell. And do you think a father of love is not going to give everyone an opportunity once again to come in with a great harvest into the body of Christ and to know the love of Jesus? A father of love is going to do that. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. That doesn't mean we live like sinners and raise hell. It means that we trust in him and that we allow his light to shine in all those people we've prayed for. We still share the gospel now because you all got saved, didn't you? That's why you're here. We keep sharing the gospel. But for those that are walking in evangelism, a day is coming that the light of God is going to shine so brightly, it's going to be like shooting chickens in a chicken coop. And I know what that looks like. But here's the thing, the preparation. I wish I had more time. I'm going to share this on Tuesday, and I might share this again on Sunday. We got to break the darkness off of us. We got to break it off of us. In Jesus' name. We have to rise in the light of the Lord and obey our destiny that God has for us. Listen to this from the Amplified Bible in Isaiah 60. This is what the Amplified Bible says. It says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise into your new life in God. That is so good. Here on the earth, the glory will be revealed. It will be a radiant light of his presence through you and through the body of Christ. It will be revealed. We will shine. And God is gathering his people. Those who humble themselves, seek his face, repent, pray, turn from their wicked ways. You guys ever heard that one? God is preparing us to receive his splendor, his goodness, the fullness of who he is. Because it's his decision. It's his plan. And here's the thing. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. But he makes us worthy. He makes us worthy. The Holy Spirit commands us to arise and shine. To shake off every circumstance that oppresses you and depresses you. I have to say this. You and I are standing. You got to get it. You got to put it together. 1 + 1 = 2. You got to see this, that you and I are standing on the threshold of the greatest outpouring in mankind. The threshold of God's glory is coming. And if this is true, I want to be prepared. I want to have oil. I want to be ready. And so today, the last thing is that this is available to you. As you press in to his presence, it's accessible to you to enter in and abide in his presence. That's his goal, that you know him and be with him. But it's also Satan's biggest fight against you. Two scriptures in this closing. Oh, Jesus. Yes. Look at Jesus speaking in Luke. Just hang in there. Luke chapter 21. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation, and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and stand before the Son of Man. Look at John 17, 22 and 23. Look at this scripture. It says, the glory which you have given me, he's talking to the Father. He says, the glory which you've given me, I have given to them that they may be one just as we are one. I've given them the glory. I've given it to them. I've given them a fiery, swirling pillar. I've given them a cloud. I've given them everything. It's inside of us. So what do we need to do? We need to let His Spirit live and be alive and not suppress it, but stir it up within ourselves. And then it goes on to say this. Oh, in 1 Thessalonians, verse 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 10, it says, when He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed. This is wild. The glory faded away in the Old Testament, but it now dwells permanently in every one of God's children. Permanently. And God is going to reveal His glory through this church right here. And all the churches in the earth. That's what we have to look forward to. That's what we have to look forward to. And I'll tell you what, that will make us press in, make us worship, make us know that, oh, there really is more. There really is so much more. Because we can't make it any other way. And I don't know how this phrase would work. I'd probably get in trouble saying this. But we're gonna kick some devil butt in humility, okay? I don't know how that works, but we're gonna be kicking the enemy's tail. And he is gonna be so stinking upset because of the fact that we have humbled ourselves and we have not allowed to be drug into his games and his distractions anymore. Because we're done, man. We're done. We're his. And our yes is still being yes, and we keep saying yes to him. That's what we have to look forward to. Don't worry about numbers. Don't worry about this church or that church. Be the church, because the body of Christ is going to come together in splendid glory. And it's going to be something to behold. We'll probably say, why did we fret so much? Why did we worry so much? You know? And that, so why don't you stand and let's just pray. I do want to pray a couple things. Are you guys okay? Okay, good. Yeah, good, good, good. Can I leave you with this? Maybe you can write this down and maybe you can hold on to it. Short line. God never intended for you to do His will without His presence. Now that will cancel out just about all your junk. God never intended for you to do His will without His presence. That'll sober you. Sober me. So Lord, today I ask that you just breathe over everything. And it doesn't mean that we don't contend for your glory. It doesn't mean we don't sing and ask for your glory to fall. It doesn't mean that we don't have moments that, man, you're just here. But we know that throughout all Scripture, you promised about your glory coming in such a way. And Father, you promised that. I think I got you because you wanted to prepare the bride in such an awesome way for your son. So Lord, I ask that you would help us all to position ourselves to seek your presence and to seek you and to not give up but to give in to your will. Lord, we're standing on the threshold of the greatest days of all mankind, when you pour out your glory on all men and women. And the glory that lives in us, I don't understand it, but the glory that lives in us somehow connects. And we begin to radiate who you are. We're a radiant bride. We're a radiant, warring people in the place of love and humility. So Lord, may this message go deep in our hearts. May we believe in Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. And may we stand on it, Lord, that we would arise and shine. For the glory of the Lord is upon us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your ways. Thank you for worship today. Nothing can stop the King of Glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.